You're welcome. I'm accepting your praise in advance. This is Medium Clever. I'm your host, Brett Medill. As always, we're here with my co-host, Sean Stewart.
Oh, is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
Present.
Present. Okay, that's good. And our guest today, who's here every time we record, but for the first time, an official guest, the people's champ, producer Brent Bobby.
Yes,
what?
Yes. Hello.
He's going to mind the switches and knobs and occasionally speak.
I have enough practice that I believe I can do these three things at a time.
Excellent.
We've seen him do them before, and we feel as though it's... I'm pretty confident he's going to be able to take care of that.
I think so, too.
Now, this is going to be, just to get out in front, we're going to talk all about summer movies on this episode. We're going to ruin a few of them. We're definitely going to spoil The Avengers, Spider-Man, Prometheus, and The Dark Knight Rises. So if you haven't seen those movies, you know, maybe you don't want to listen to this episode yet.
Check them out before...
Yeah, because I mean, I know that there are, among our millions and millions of listeners, some of them probably haven't seen all of those movies.
Exactly.
Right?
No,
so, like, hey, I know you've been waiting for a new episode of Medium Clever, millions, but you might have to just temper your expectations here a little.
On the other hand, if you have no interest in watching any of those movies, then don't go anywhere.
Yeah, so we're going to ruin those ones, and we're probably just going to kind of shit in on and around all the other ones.
Yeah, we thought it'd be fun to, you know, pick around at the movies that were released during the summer of 2012. And, let's get into it.
Let's start it off with the first big movie of the summer, of course. Right in May, right at the beginning of May, we have The Avengers.
The Avengers.
I think this movie might have been successful.
You'd think so. I think they set the record for... highest grossing movie for the first weekend.
Wow.
I don't know how much that was, but good for you, Avengers. But then they also got trumped by The Dark Knight Rises like two months later. We'll get into that later.
Yeah. And I mean, I should also say, like, I haven't looked up, I don't have a lot of factual knowledge about any of these movies.
No, yeah.
Just kind of, I'm flying by the seat of my pants here.
Avengers was released on Hi-Fi?
On Hi-Fi?
Yeah.
It's coming out on Laserdisc, I heard.
Yep.
Soon. Soon to be released.
And VHS. Coming soon to VHS.
Coming soon to VHS and Laserdisc. The Avengers. 1998's Absolutely. The Avengers. So I guess, well, I don't know, I kind of, one thing I found distracting almost about this movie is that there was too much star power, maybe.
You think so?
Almost. Like, everybody in this movie is a legitimate movie star in their own right. Seven of them. At least seven legitimate movie stars in this
and
film.
And most of the characters had their own stories before this movie.
Right. I mean, I understand. Yeah, they had to. They already starred in a movie to get them to this point. So, of course, there's a lot of movie stars.
Yeah.
But there's, like, seven of them. And there's even more if you want to count, like, the guy who's the voice of Jarvis is Paul Bettany.
Yeah.
And he stars in movies.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Gwyneth Paltrow's in it. Stellan Skarsgård's in it. These are movie stars.
Jeremy Renner.
Well, yeah, Jeremy Renner, Scarlett Johansson.
Et cetera.
Mark Ruffalo.
You know, you've seen this movie.
Yeah. Or you haven't, and whatever. But I don't know. Did you like it?
I enjoyed The Avengers.
Yeah, I did too.
It was fun. It was... entertaining. I mean, that's all you could really ask for in a movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It was long, but it didn't really seem super long. But
yeah.
I mean, it had to be long to kind of tie all of those characters and get them together and get them on the same page and on.
That's true. Like Loki comes in from Asgard with the Tesseract. Well, wait, how did the Tesseract even get onto Earth? That wasn't really explained.
Well, it was in Captain America. Right,
the Tesseract featured
prominently into the Captain America movie. It was what the Red Skull was after it.
Okay. It was the Mulligan in Captain America.
Yeah. The Mulligan?
No, the MacGuffin?
MacGuffin.
Oh.
Ah!
Fuck that one
strike
up.
One, people's champ!
Can I get a Mulligan on that one?
No.
There we go.
No, we're not editing this one.
We'll give you a Mulligan. What's it called?
MacGuffin.
Yeah!
It's an elaborate setup.
Not elaborate enough.
Okay, so the Tesseract was in...
It was in Captain America.
Captain America's movie.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they kind of touched on it at the very end of Thor, but
they only
just kind of showed it.
But only because they knew that it was prominently featured in The Avengers.
Right, right.
Like, that's the thing. Like, this movie had to be extremely successful, and it was, because because they basically fucked around for the last 2 years and spent jillions of dollars just making sure that this movie was set up. There was no point to Scarlett Johansson being in Iron Man 2 at all. There's no
I don't
point,
even remember
there's no
Iron
point,
Man 2.
There's no point in her being in the Avengers, for that matter, but I can get into that later.
Well, actually, no, there is a point, because when Hawkeye gets taken over by Loki...
Oh, you mean the other guy who shouldn't even be in the movie? Go ahead.
Who, Hawkeye?
Yeah.
Well, was he not
just
an
continue.
Avenger?
Just
Hawkeye, yeah, exactly. Hawkeye was an Avenger. What are you talking about?
I will cover my complaints.
But anyways, she was the one who would eventually get him back on S.H.I.E.L.D.'s side.
Now, I'm not making the argument that the movie didn't do its best to make sure that those characters had something to do. And right. I'm not making the argument that Black Widow and Hawkeye have never been members of the Avengers in the comics. But I'm going to take... But I've kind of got... I guess I got a bone to pick for the comics, too, because... Black Widow and Hawkeye are useless. Like, they shouldn't be Avengers. I don't care what the comic says. Like, they should have their own little S.H.I.E.L.D. team that takes care of other things. Because, like, what are the Black Widow... If the Black Widow and Hawkeye come up against an alien overlord from outer space to conquer the world...
Right.
They're useless as tits on a boar and all that, etc.
But Hawkeye was sniping people out on the building. I would argue that he was pretty useful in that battle.
I just think that there is such a huge difference between the powers of, Hawkeye, who's just like, ooh, he's good at aiming.
He's
Black
good at
Widow,
aiming.
She can kind of jump around a little and she's hot. And it's like everyone else is like, I can destroy everything.
I can destroy buildings. I understand.
Like, even Captain America doesn't have anywhere near the power as the other guys do.
Right. But Hawkeye, I mean, an arrow to the head's going to kill something. Any more than a plasma blast from Iron Man's suit. You know what I mean? It's still going to be an effective weapon.
Sure.
Sure, he doesn't have superpowers like the Hulk, or he's not a god like Thor, but he could fuck shit up.
I just think it's a little strange that there's such a huge difference in the power.
Maybe they just make really good coffee.
Hawkeye's part of the Avengers. He's on the government payroll. It's like, hey, Hawkeye. Why don't you, you're really good at putting just the right amount of fucking sugar and cream in my coffee.
Yeah, that's how he started off.
Oh, he worked his way up.
He's like, I'm so good with a bow and arrow. Why can't they use me to my full potential?
Right. That's how you get into the Avengers. You start in the mail room.
Use your espresso, double foam.
Start in the mail room.
Double foam, no sugar.
You work up to the espresso. And eventually they give you a bow and arrow.
Exactly.
Maybe he's got some kind of coffee arrow.
Oh, we can only hope.
You know what I didn't like about the Avengers? Hawkeye's fucking hacking arrow. What the fuck was that all about? He shot an arrow at the machine, at this computer, what was it, on the airship, and then, like, it shoots out three little prongs to hack the computer. That made
no
sense.
Explain this, Sean.
Okay.
Hawkeye's quiver is Batman's utility belt. It has in it whatever is needed for the plot to
continue.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Which is like, and I have the same complaint about the Justice League. What the fuck are Batman and the Green Arrow doing in the goddamn Justice League? I love Batman. He's he's like my favorite hero, and he's great at when like a madman wants to take over or destroy Gotham City. But what the hell is Batman gonna do if Darkseid or Thanos or one of these like a whole world of aliens shows up. Batman's like, I guess I'll do the detective work on this one.
I'll make sure Darkseid's guilty.
Yeah. Oh, and how much cream did you want in your coffee? Bruce Wayne's running
bat
around
coffee.
Getting fucking bat coffees for Superman in between punches.
Nice.
Ridiculous. And like, but more about the buildup is also like, I felt really sorry for Clark Gregg, the guy who plays Agent Coulson.
Right,
I was
right.
like, that poor bastard. I mean, he got to be in all these movies, but they put him in like three or four movies leading up to this, here and there.
Just to be like,
just so there's a little bit of emotional resonance when they murder him.
But like, he's the murderer that brought them together.
I know, but that's the thing.
It was a pivotal moment.
But they put that guy in all of these movies. They peppered him in through Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor. He's in all these movies just so they can kill him off and it means something.
For sure.
And I would also say that I definitely approve of The wardrobes of Scarlett Johansson.
Absolutely.
And Kobe Smulders.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And I don't know if they even mention the name of Kobe Smulders' character in the whole movie.
I don't think they do.
She's assistant director Maria Hill.
Maria Hill.
And yeah, they don't say her name at all, but I'm just like, good job.
She's there, and they both look great in them suits.
They definitely look great. If the argument is, hey, why do Black Widow need to be in these movies? Because, did you want Scarlett Johansson or not? Well, yeah. Then I'm okay. All right. You win. You're a movie. You can do that. Joss Whedon did a good job. There was funny. The dialogue was
funny
good.
Moments.
There was funny moments all throughout.
For sure.
The Hulk, you know, definitely
smashing
had
the shit out of Loki.
Physical comedy the Hulk. You know, a little slapstick.
That made me crack up.
A little slapstick from the Mark Ruffalo Hulk. Mm-hmm. It's always good. Cap's just been still kind of freshly thawed out in this movie.
He's kind of the coordinator of everybody. He's the
Cap. I kind of got the impression that he didn't really know where he was most of the time. He's like, I'm not sure what's happening here, you know?
No, it's just kind of like, well, if there's a fight happening, Captain America knows what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. He'll plan the shit out of that fight, but
otherwise he's still kind of like, I was beating up Hitler last week. And now, because that's the other thing, is that Cap goes from World War II to being frozen, to being thawed out like last week, and then he shows up in Germany in this movie to fight Loki, and he's just okay with everything. He's not feeling a little weird he's not looking both ways. He doesn't have his head on a swivel for Germans.
He hasn't Googled anything yet. He hasn't had his first Google.
I'm pretty sure that if you just got thawed out 2 weeks ago, Google's probably going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
Like, did you see where he's working out? Like, he's like working out in a gym that's straight out of the 40s. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't have
no
any
doubt.
Modern equipment. He's like, he's just maintaining his little bubble. And then when he gets out, he's like, he's just okay with Germany and Loki and, helicopters and shit everywhere. Like
iPods, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, iPods.
iPods.
Exactly.
He'd try and explain fucking Hawkeye's hacking arrow to Captain America. It does a who on a what now?
What's this computer?
Grandpa Simpson America.
Yeah.
Well, back in 1983, we had to use the word dickety because the Kaiser stole a law word for 30.
No, like, Captain America took it back, though.
Yeah, all right. So it's all okay.
So dickety is okay to use.
The 30's back. And I guess, I don't know, my major complaints were the power thing. And then, Thor is just a bore to me.
Yeah.
You never were a fan
of Thor, were you?
I couldn't sit through the Thor movie. I just find him completely boring. I've never identified with the character, and I continue to not. I just can't care a lick about Thor.
Of the three, I would say probably Captain America is my least favorite.
Really?
Mostly because I was never really a fan of Captain America. Mm. Iron Man's probably my favorite, absolute favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Of these or of all?
Of all the Avengers.
Of all the Avengers, okay, yeah.
I guess Batman would be my all-time favorite.
Okay, yeah, because he's the best.
He's the best.
Obviously.
Of course.
There's not going to be any bias when we talk about Batman.
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all.
No.
We're going to be hard as fuck on that movie.
We're going to be critical. But, I mean, I liked the Avengers. So, I mean, any complaints I have are not really complaints. They're just kind of like, hey, I noticed this thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I noticed this thing that might have been different.
But really, that's what's fun about doing things like that. It's just nitpicking.
Yeah, nitpicking can be a good time because everybody finds different things that are like that bother them.
Exactly.
And which only informs you that you can't possibly make a movie without still having moments to nitpick over. Because everybody nitpicks over different shit.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So it's impossible. So it just feeds into itself. And you're like, okay. Well,
there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. You just have to enjoy it.
Exactly.
Enjoy the flaws, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Gives you something to talk about. Exactly. And Loki, I gotta say, Tom Hiddleston was really good as Loki.
Definitely.
I really liked his Loki. When he's like stealing the German scientist's eyeball, the whole crowd is just like losing their shit. There's a close-up on Loki, and this look of glee just plays across his face, and I'm just like,
because
oh,
he knows nobody's gonna do nothing.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there like, hey,
it's
how's
pretty
it going,
good.
Germany?
And then right at the end, it's like, oh, wait, Thanos is gonna be in Avengers 2? Hey, look, it's Thanos. Because, the very beginning, it's some alien talking to Loki, right? Giving him the power,
right,
sending to Earth, right? That's like Thanos' buddy. Okay. And then at the very end, he's like that same alien is like talking to Thanos, and like the last thing you see, oh, it's after the credit sequence.
Okay, I didn't see that.
The post-credit sequence in the Avengers has Thanos, and you see him, like the last thing you see is like there's Thanos' face, as I recall. And I'm like, oh,
interesting. I remember that too. The thing is, I've never really read the comic book, so I stayed after the movie to watch that. And we see this guy, and he's like, okay, there's an alien guy, and he's got like red eyes or something. And I realized, like, oh, this is how everyone else who isn't a nerd feels when they watch these kind of movies. Because I had no idea who the fuck that guy was.
Well, the post-credit sequence is for the nerds. So the thing that's is the thing that's for the nerds. So it's like,
I'm not saying I should have understood.
Anyone who was there.
Now I understood what people feel.
Yeah, anyone who was there to see the movie who wasn't a nerd wouldn't have known, who wasn't an Avengers nerd anyway, wouldn't have known the significance of who that alien was.
All I know is the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I know about Thanos. Alien overlord type, wields the Infinity Gauntlet now and again, and that pretty much does whatever he wants.
So yeah, I'll look forward to Avengers 2 whenever it comes out.
For sure. It'll be fun. Yeah, I'm in. But when Thanos shows up, I'm pretty sure that Scarlett Johansson and Jeremy Renner are going to have fuck all to do with him.
Oh, guaranteed. Well, Hawkeye will, you know, make coffee and
yeah, exactly.
Shoot
coffee arrow
and stuff.
Coffee arrow.
Coffee arrows.
Can't underestimate how important coffee is.
It's
pretty important.
The research shows that it ups productivity.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Whether you're Captain America or Steve in the mailroom. I don't know. You guys have anything else we want to really cover on Avengers? It was fun. The performances were good.
Yeah, for sure.
Screenplay was good. Director was good. I liked the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier as well. That was nice to see.
I liked the mirrors that made it invisible in the sky.
Right.
Device, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. That was cool. It's cool stuff. Final word on Avengers. Cool.
Cool out of 10.
So I guess the next one on the movie schedule like that is Battleship also came out in May.
Oh, boy.
Of course, we've all been waiting for several years to see another board game movie.
I know I have.
And, hey, who wouldn't want to see a movie prominently featuring Rihanna in a dramatic acting role?
Next to Liam Neeson.
I didn't see this movie. I don't need to see it. They cast Rihanna as one of the leads.
Sold.
No. Not sold. The opposite of sold.
No, I'm sold.
Oh.
No, I'm not sold. I'm just
unless
kidding. I was just kidding.
Unless
with
there's
you.
Like a. And see, I want to know in Battleship, you tell me, people who may have seen this or not. I'm going to assume this doesn't happen, but I can only think that the thing that would have really made this movie pop is if somewhere in the second act, Rihanna just busts out Umbrella.
Probably happens.
Right? Like there's like some. Happening. Tomorrow, the aliens are invading tomorrow, but we're still going to have fun tonight. We're going to get our morale up.
Like the
Rihanna
shows?
Performs
yeah, yeah.
Umbrella. They're in like a seedy bar somewhere, and Umbrella, Ella.
A.
I really have nothing to say about that.
I got nothing to say.
What to expect when you're expecting your movie to be terrible. Men in Black 3. Men in Black 3.
Whatever. I'm a fan of the first Men in Black.
Yeah, it's a good
because
movie.
Because it was an enjoyable movie. I don't remember the second one too much, but I remember not enjoying it as much as the first.
Right.
And I would imagine the third would only decrease in quality. But I'm probably going to end up seeing it one way or another. Yeah.
For me, it's kind of like, when you're here's your third sequel. So like we're going to wrap this shit up, but we're not going to do it until 10 years after the last one we made.
Yeah, That's kind of like Wall Street.
Yeah, if you were going to make Men in Black 3, it should have come out in 2005 or 2006.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's why I didn't go and see it. If it had come out in 2005 or 2006, I may have actually gone and paid to see it. But no.
Not so much 10 years later.
There's no way I can picture myself walking out of that movie and thinking, gee, I'm glad they made that movie.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't pay for movies where I suspect that that's what I will think afterward. For the most part,
those movies
I did
just
pay to see The Transporter 2.
Yeah, so did I. Why did that happen?
I don't know.
That was a terrible
idea. We're getting off track on the summer movies. Transporter 2 is terrible. But for sure. But yeah, Men in Black 3, no thanks. But Josh Brolin did a really great Tommy Lee Jones impression.
Yeah, he's right? been doing it his whole life, though.
But he lays it on a little thicker. He makes it a little more Tommy Lee Jones in this one. His voice, he sounds...
I haven't seen any trailers,
even in the trailer, Josh Brolin sounds spot on like Tommy Lee Jones, in my opinion. I didn't see it. I didn't spend that much time with it. But we move on to June. So we'll start with a movie that's been in the press a lot lately, not for any of the correct reasons. Snow White and the Huntsman.
Oh, boy.
So this movie, most notable for being, apparently, as far as I can tell, Snow White and the Huntsman was created as a way to promote Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Just a straight up ad for Twilight?
That's all I can tell. I mean, I don't know anything about Snow White and the Huntsman. Everything I heard about it was that it was terrible.
Okay.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. And Kristen Stewart, of course, is terrible. And then she fucked the director.
Yeah, exactly.
And that we find out now, because it's the perfect time for the PR campaign for Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 to start.
It's just a whole conspiracy.
No, it's not a conspiracy.
The Illuminati and everything.
There's maybe a reason why we're finding this out at this particular moment is all.
I mean, it did happen a month ago. That is still fairly recently.
Yeah. But you know what? I guess.
I guess movies aren't made in a month.
I only read one story. It was one story too many. But I read one story about this Kristen Stewart banging the director thing.
Right.
And since I don't follow this kind of gossip, what I was really surprised to find out was that when this news came out, apparently large segments of the population were surprised that Kristen Stewart isn't a lesbian.
Really?
Apparently, there is a significant portion of people out there who always assumed that the Kristen Stewart Robert Pattinson thing was like a beard situation for her, or something to that effect.
Jeez.
And so there was a lot of people who were really surprised that it's like, oh, she is straight or bi? Question mark.
I never read a lot about it, but I did see the YouTube reaction of the British fan. Critiquing Kristen Stewart for cheating on Robert Pattinson, and she does not hold back. She spends 3 minutes just laying into Kristen Stewart. Who knows if she'll even see it? But I just thought it was funny.
I've got a feeling it would be if you're really going to take the moral high ground, it would probably be more effective to rail against the director with the wife and children who cheated on them with Kristen Stewart. His wife played Kristen Stewart's mom in the movie. I just found that out. Like, okay.
That's fucking
anyway,
that's nuts.
Apparently a terrible movie. I'm okay with that.
I will probably not see that movie.
If this means that we don't have to sit through Cinderella and the Shoe and all these other fucking fairy tale movies, if that one failed enough so that we don't have to, like, if we don't get
Sleeping
through,
Beauty
like,
and the Fuck Dragon.
Well, maybe that's just where things are heading, because I mean, first we had the supernatural stuff, like with the vampires and the werewolves.
Right.
We had the superhero movies, you know, like back in the 90s we had the disaster movies. Maybe now we're just moving to the fairy tale. Maybe this is maybe we're just
Kristen Stewart was trying to leave go
the,
from
where
the Twilight
is going to. This is zeitgeisty.
She was leaving the werewolf vampire Twilight thing behind, trying to get into the fairy tale universe. There is a really good comic book called Fables, where all the characters are like fairy tale characters, basically, and it's really good. But that's not this. If they made a movie of that, I would watch it. But anyway, yeah, we probably won't have to sit through Kristen Stewart in Cinderella and Kristen Stewart in, I don't know, I can't even come up with any other fairy tales at the moment. Jack and the Beanstalk, the movie. Watch an old lady berate. Who would star in that? Who would star in Jack and the Beanstalk?
Who would star in Snow White and the Huntsman?
It would have to be a really dark interpretation of Jack and the Beanstalk. Like maybe with like
Christopher Nolan's Jack and the Beanstalk. It'd just be called... What would it be called, though?
Jack.
It would be called Jack?
Yeah,
no, that's a Robin Williams movie from 1997.
Right. Yeah, they already did that.
Jack
Climbs.
Or the Beanstalk. It would just be called Beanstalk. The Beanstalk Rises.
Jack Rises, the Beanstalk.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
I've disgusted myself enough now. Let's move on to Madagascar 3! The
More
Money
Madagascar.
Train! Madagascar 3 Money Train.
I have a theory that like all these CG movies, they cost way more than they bring in. So they just try to keep making more of them so they can attempt to get more money. but it just doesn't work out for them.
So it's like an elaborate tax write-off?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's the opposite of that. That they make so much money that they have to keep making them because okay. they make a ton of money.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and here's the other thing, is that the people who star in Madagascar 3, fuck them. You know what? Screw all of them. They're all super rich already anyway. And then they come in and do this and they're like, yeah, whatever, it's no big deal.
It's, I don't know. It's, oh my God, we're on a fucking iceberg or something. Okay, paycheck. Oh, no, that's Ice Age. Sorry. Not Madagascar.
Madagascar.
We're in a zoo or something. Yeah. Paycheck, please.
Okay. Yeah, you got a point there. It's the kind of thing. Well, that's the other thing is that these are movies that are made simply because they know that every 3-year-old who saw Madagascar 1 or Madagascar 2 is going to destroy their parents' lives until they see Madagascar 3.
True.
That's why they keep making sequels. With kids' movies anyway, I think that it's just like, yeah, just keep giving those kids more of the same garbage we've been feeding them.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's not like we weren't the same when we were kids.
Yeah, exactly.
They just weren't able to pump out animated movies every 6 months when
they
we were kids.
They just couldn't do Power Rangers movies every year.
No, but if they really... Bandai missed out right there.
Oh, yeah. They missed out hard.
How much would you have liked to see some more of those? There was two. Wasn't there two Power Rangers movies?
There were more than two.
More than two?
When I was a kid, the big one was the movie itself.
Yeah, and right? then there was one called Turbo.
And then there was Turbo, and then I lost track.
Okay, because as far as I'm concerned, those were the only ones I knew of.
Well, they're still making Power Ranger, like...
There's still TV shows?
Yeah, there's still TV shows.
There's still, like, Power Rangers Dino Rescue?
Dino Rescue, I think Samurai Force is the new one.
Power Rangers Samurai Force?
Samurai Force!
Well, who's there? It's all based on a Japanese TV show anyway. They just, like, redo the... Like, all the live-action parts, they redo in English. But the fight scenes and everything, that's all just from some Japanese show.
Oh, yeah. It's not like Kimberly Jo Johnson or Amy Jo Johnson or whatever was the original Pink Ranger. It's not like she was doing all that actual fight stuff.
Right.
Yeah, they were just doing, like, the Saved by the Bell parts of the show. Yeah. to put it in my way of understanding, right? Yeah, More or less. Okay, let's get case. Okay, so the next one that came out was Prometheus.
Right.
Now, Prometheus. I didn't see Prometheus.
Brant and I saw Prometheus.
I saw Prometheus.
So I'm going to rely on you guys mostly.
So it's pretty much just
going
to be us two. Basically, what they were doing was trying to set up the whole Alien universe with this movie.
I don't know if that was really what they were getting at, but...
You don't think so?
No.
Well,
no.
I mean, it's set in the same universe as Alien, is what I was led to believe. Anyway.
It is, definitely.
And, visually, this movie looks great. I think it looks awesome. Everything's cool. 3D was interesting. I mean, as interesting as 3D can be.
That's good.
But the plot, oh my God, the plot makes no sense at all. And Damon Lindelof, right. I know you're listening to this.
Johnny Lost,
Johnny Prometheus, stop. Just stop. Write a coherent plot. For the love of God, stop making everything vague so that people have to guess what's going on. It is stupid and pointless. Stop. Just stop it. That's all I got to say about that.
You heard him. You heard him, Damon. Sean wants you to hold his hand.
Yes. That's right. But, anyway, I mean, it was cool. Like, what they were trying to do is find the original place where human beings came from. And they found it on this distant planet, like light years away from our universe. You want to chime in or something?
So part of this is that, hey, guess what? Humans didn't come from here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically. That we were created by another species. And eventually they do find out that we were created by another species. And... for whatever reason, they wanted to destroy us. It's really not explained well in the movie. Like, as soon as they find out, like, they go through all this shit, they find out that these ships were underground, that had this ooze that turned everything all friggity-fuckity.
Oh.
And yeah, friggity fuckity. It's friggity a fuckity technical use. Term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we use in the science industry.
I think there's two words that can science really summarize the backstory of the movie. Those two words are space Jesus.
Yeah, that works. Space Jesus. But they weren't space Jesus, though, because they were just like they had DNA similar to humans. So, I mean, technically they were space humans? I don't know. The movie made no goddamn sense.
Humans from space! Yeah.
The critical flaw of that movie was that the characters did not, in any sense of the word, behave like rational human beings.
No.
The
situation
like that would have behaved.
It was
now, the visuals and the art direction. Honestly, go see that movie. I'm happy I saw that movie just because it was such a visual spectacle.
It does look visually
awesome. But like the characters are just, oh, come on.
Characters make no sense. Two characters get lost when the entire area that they've been walking around has been charted on this giant map back of the ship, and they're in constant contact with the ship. Like, how is that even possible? How do you fuck it up that badly?
Well, one of them supposedly was high on space tabacky.
Space tabacky?
Right. Forgot about that.
Oh, my God. This but sounds still, fantastic.
Like, still, how hard is it to be like, yeah, Prometheus, where are we? Oh, you're over here. Just walk into that space station thing or whatever. But, yeah. So then the ooze starts taking over. They find this area where there's just tons of jars of ooze. They open one up. Worms turn into, like, dick snakes.
What?
And start killing people.
What does this ooze really do? What is this?
It makes you see what you want to see.
Apparently. Yeah.
What?
Don't act like they weren't dick snakes, Brent.
Okay.
Makes you see what you want to see.
But anyways, it's not really explained how this ooze works, but whatever it touches, it just alters the DNA in some way that it turns it, like, I don't know, malignantly evil. Let's say that.
The plot of the movie is such that it's a kind of plot that to understand what's going on, you have to go and read some guy's some obsessive live journal post.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's like, well, what did he mean by this?
It's not even really worth trying to explain the plot. No. That's not really the point, you know?
Okay.
But I'm left wondering what was the point of the movie. I don't know.
The point is Prometheus 2 is coming. That's the point.
No.
Yeah. Because now they have to find, well, the space humans we find out are called engineers.
Space Jesuses.
Space Jesus. Well, yeah, there we go. Space Jesus. The Space Jesus, for whatever reason,
space
made
Jesus
this
and his
ooze.
Disciples?
Basically, they made this ooze to send to Earth to fuck shit up.
Okay.
But we don't know why they were going to do this.
And why did they fail?
We don't know either.
Okay.
There's absolutely no... It just seemed like a pointless movie, in my opinion. It looks great. I can't stress that enough.
So
but that's really not enough to go see a movie.
So it wasn't even able to, like... Sometimes, like, a movie won't be coherent, but it'll still manage to make, like, a larger point about society or something?
Right, right.
Does it do that?
No.
Oh, that poor movie.
I'm not sure about that.
It's very vague. Like I was saying, Damon Lindelof just writes this.
Well, there's nothing
stuff.
Wrong with being vague, but it's just...
But at least explain something. Like, give it some kind of decent ending. I don't know. I mean, I left that movie
I think having a vague plot is okay as long as the people experiencing it, like the characters, act rationally, but none of the people on that ship did anything rationally.
It did not compute with me.
Like you're walking down the street with your mom, and some guy comes and shoots your mom, so you immediately buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, yeah. Or, I mean...
That's Prometheus in a nutshell.
And I have a question first. Mm-hmm. When you say dick snakes, I need to know, is it because the snakes resembled dicks, or is it because they attacked people's dicks to kill them?
Both.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Mind blown. No, they looked like the heads of uncircumcised penises. But
oh, I've never seen one of those.
That's just my take on it. I don't know. Go see Prometheus, maybe? I don't know. I would not recommend it.
If you like dick snakes.
Wait for Blu-ray.
If you like dick snakes, pick up Prometheus on Laserdisc.
Yeah, coming soon.
Patent pending.
What?
I'm sorry. I don't know why that. Rock of Ages then came out.
Right, Rock of Ages.
Which is a thing.
My girlfriend loves that soundtrack. She went to go see Rock of Ages when we went to go see Prometheus.
Okay.
She loved the movie. That's her thing, though. I'm not big on musicals because I don't feel that they portray human emotions in a very real way.
Well, nobody's
singing and dancing in their kitchen like, I'm making breakfast. Nobody's doing that on a regular basis.
Yes, you're correct. I would agree with you that, but at the same time, and we'll cover this again later with dance movies, but
right.
Musicals, dance movies, you can't approach them the same way you would approach a regular narrative movie, because they don't exist to tell a good story. They exist to hit you with some cool songs or some wicked dance numbers. That's the only real purpose.
Fair
so
enough.
If your purpose is really only to put on an exhibition of talent, then fine. But yeah, you don't need to. I don't know. Tom Cruise is kind of fun. I like Tom Cruise
for sure.
Just not enough to watch him star in a musical.
No, absolutely not.
Though I would like to see the scene with T.J. Miller. T.J. Miller's in a scene with him, apparently.
Yeah.
That I'd kind of like to see. The next movie that came out was That's My Boy.
Oh, boy.
Which,
oh, boy, oh, boy.
Andy Samberg is starting his post-SNL career with a Happy Madison film.
Yeah.
And that always works out. It worked out for Kevin James. I mean, if you consider what Kevin James' career currently looks like as working out, I guess if that's what he wanted.
Actually, he is in one movie that looks okay now.
The one, Here Comes the Boom?
That's the one. Here Comes the Boom. That looks interesting.
Isn't he like a teacher who...
He's a teacher who...
The evil developers want to close the school, so he has to become a fighter.
So he fundraises by MMA fighting, yeah. And he looks pretty skinny in terms of Kevin James...
So it was like Kevin James needs to make this movie so that he has a good excuse to lose weight. I don't know.
Maybe I don't know. It might be okay.
But anyway, like I said, if Andy Samberg wants to have Kevin James's career, then perhaps Adam Sandler can help him with that. But I would say that his career path up to this point has not been like that, and I would have maybe expected something different. But Tony Orlando is in That's My Boy. So, it has going for it. If you want to tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree, see That's My Boy. Because you won't get Tony Orlando in anything else or ever again, likely.
For sure.
Then we had Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter came out.
Starring Week Thus Far's co-host Ben Walker.
As far as I know, I didn't see it. But Benjamin Walker's the star. So
way to go. Stepping
OBC, Abraham Lincoln. I imagine that he sold it pretty well.
I'm sure he said Deese a couple times and stabbed vampires in the chest.
Yeah, well, you can say Deese if you're a Lincoln that stabs vampires.
47 Deese ago.
I killed all the vampires. Ted. Well, wait, before we move on to Ted, do you even like this, let's rewrite a historical thing with fantasy elements?
I don't know. I enjoy the idea, but... Using like a presidential, a person who used to run a country, secretly fighting vampires. It just sounds stupid.
It also kind of sounds like Chuck Barris, the host of the Gong Show, who claimed that he was also a CIA agent.
But that was an interesting movie.
Yeah, no, it was. But this is different. But so you would have been okay if it was like a vampire hunting movie set in the Civil War time period.
Just not
Abraham
Lincoln.
Abe Lincoln being the vampire.
Yeah,
hunter.
Einstein.
Abraham Lincoln is Van Helsing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're saying that Abe Lincoln was too beloved historical figure?
It doesn't compute with me. I don't think Abraham Lincoln would have it in him to kill a vampire.
Sean, he freed the slaves from the oppressive South and the oppressive Dracula. You think Dracula would have let those slaves go? Abe Lincoln took the fucking boots to Dracula to free the slaves.
Okay, fair enough.
We should respect him for that. And also, children that are too young to pay any attention in school now think that Abraham Lincoln fought vampires. Stupid kids learn about Abraham Lincoln and they think, oh, you mean the vampire hunter?
Is that a bad thing?
Well, I guess it should give them some healthy respect for the man.
It would, yeah, a little bit. Like, wow, he did that? That's part of our history?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Now, kid, think what you can... look what Abraham Lincoln did for his country.
Yep.
Freed the slaves, fought the vampires. What are you going to do? Huh?
Step it up,
what
kids.
Are you bringing to the
fucking
table?
You're the future.
Table?
Step it up.
To the streets.
To Ted, the streets.
Ted then came out. That's a movie.
Cool. That's Seth MacFarlane's first live-action movie.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it looks interesting. I'm in no rush to see it, but I'll eventually see it.
Probably. Snuggles the Bear and Mark Wahlberg in a movie?
Absolutely.
I guess. I don't have much to say about it, except that it's probably pretty weird. Though, you know what? I heard people complaining about it. This was the complaint I heard. They're like, how come everybody in the world in Ted, their first reaction isn't like, holy shit, a talking bear!
Right.
And that's a ridiculous complaint to make. Because when you're making a movie like this, this is very clearly, it's a science fiction slash fantasy movie. Right. So if you're setting this movie in a world where that could happen, like, we don't want to waste, do you really want to waste half of your 90 minutes with every character being dumbfounded?
What the fuck?
Like, every person is dumbfounded for the first 30 seconds, and then we can actually do something? Like, get over yourself, complainers.
Yeah Family Guy up. Can do it, but this movie can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's a talking baby and a talking dog. Let's not fucking bring attention to that.
At least John couldn't hear what Garfield was saying.
That we know.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you suggesting that John Arbuckle had some sort of mind-reading powers?
I think that Garfield was a figment of John's imagination the whole time.
I think John's a figment of Garfield's imagination.
My mind is just blown right now.
And Odie never existed for anyone. I got it. Okay.
And Nermal was ugly.
And edit point. Then Magic Mike came out.
Yep.
I assume that Sean has seen this several times.
I have seen it
as an inspirational,
times.
For inspirational purposes.
Of course,
not
to
for
masturbate.
Any other reason. Oh,
to masturbate too.
Oh, inspirational masturbation.
Yeah, inspirational masturbation.
Is there any better kind?
There's no, there isn't any better kind. No.
Okay, that's good to know. Moving on. That's all we need to say about that.
No, I've never seen it. My girlfriend has, and she enjoyed it, obviously. She's a big fan of Channing Tatum. And
which is probably a mistake.
He was, well, I mean, to each their own. I don't think she's a fan of his acting abilities. But
that's good. Because yeah, then she would
that
have
helps.
Poor judgment.
Yeah. But, no, apparently he was a stripper before he was an actor.
Yeah.
So he fit right in.
That's why they made this movie. I was led to believe that him being a stripper before featured prominently in this movie being written, directed, and made.
Right.
Because that's the kind of thing Steven Soderbergh does. I don't know. I may end up seeing it because I like the director.
Right.
And that may involve that may mean I have to see this.
Right.
But at the same time, probably not.
I read a review. It didn't sound very interesting to me.
Okay, screw
anyways,
it.
Go on.
And then the Amazing Spider-Man came out. Now, did anyone see this but me?
I have not seen this, no.
Brant, did you see this?
I have not seen this movie.
The champ hasn't seen Amazing Spider-Man either. Well, let me give you the rundown.
Hold on. Wait. I can do this. Don't worry. I got this, Brant.
Okay.
Okay. Spider-Man.
Right.
He's in the movie.
Uh-huh.
No way.
He is Peter Parker. He's
that's right.
Radioactive
okay.
Spider.
Yeah. Peter Parker, Radioactive Spider. Actually, genetically altered spider.
Oh, right. Genetically altered. Okay, well, that's...
yeah, I'll just give you the updates. You tell me the movie, and I'll give you the minor tweaks.
Okay, he takes the first few steps down the on his hero's journey. He watches his uncle get killed.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He overcomes some obstacles.
Oh.
Yeah, witnesses and perhaps inadvertently participates in the creation of... inspires his eventual arch nemesis somehow.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Then his arch nemesis comes to power.
The lizard.
The lizard. Okay, it's a lizard. Whatever.
It's the lizard. Yeah.
And then there's a confrontation.
Right.
And he overcomes his nemesis and
gets the girl.
Gets the girl.
Yay!
The movie's over.
Yay! Brent did see this movie.
Congratulations,
you
you've described every movie.
Brent described the Spider-Man movie perfectly. Peter Parker, played by not Tobey Maguire, so that's always already a win. But unfortunately, everything else about this movie is not very good. The special effects were fun.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man looked better than he's ever looked before.
That's a plus.
He's actually in high school. It's kind of more based on the Ultimate Spider-Man comics rather than the original one. So he's in high school, and Gwen Stacy is his main squeeze. And I mean, I like Emma Stone, so the performances were good. The actors did good jobs. The Lizard is a shitty bad guy. The story was kind of just lame, and Dennis Leary should never be cast in anything, let alone as Emma Stone's dad. Dennis Leary is terrible and sucks. Fuck Dennis Leary. Fuck him in his ear. Moving on.
Harsh words.
Savages.
I think you should have played Green Goblin.
Yeah, Dennis Leary. Hey, what you want? Fuck. Fucking fuck.
Because when the first Spider-Man came out, he would just milk it that he was Willem Dafoe for the longest time. He would tell people, "Yeah, I'm in Spider-Man.
I don't think
I'm in Spider-Man, asshole." Anyways,
okay. So tell us what we really think about Dennis Leary. Savages then came out. This is July. Savages, Amazing Spider-Man was July. Savages came out. It's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie. Senior Kick-Ass was in it.
If you like Oliver Stone, you're probably wrong, unless you're like 15 years ago. But, you know, whatever. Savages. Apparently boring. Ice Age, Continental Drift. We talked about this already.
We
talked about this already, but we called it Madagascar 3.
Right.
It's the same kind of rehash bullshit. There's going to be some ice. There's going to be a little guy chasing an acorn, probably.
Fuck.
Right?
Guarantee that's going to happen.
Guarantee there's going to be a little bit of
How long is this fucking Ice Age? Like, shouldn't they all be frozen to death by now?
Yeah, come on.
Like, fucking get your shit together, Ice Age.
Well, this one's called Continental Drift. What number is this even in the Ice Age series? It has to be 4 or 5.
4 or 5.
It's got to be 4 or 5. But it's called Continental Drift. So, hopefully they all die, but probably not.
It's inevitable. They are
going to
kill
them
all.
They're going to keep making Ice Age movies until we fast forward to the present time and we unthaw them and they get to Captain America with us.
Yeah.
That's where this is headed, right?
They pull an old Steve Rogers.
Yep, an old tricky Steve. That's a tricky Steve. For all those who were unaware, when someone says pulling a tricky Steve, that means getting frozen in ice for some length of time, then unfrozen, and you can continue living. Because that's a thing that they can do.
For sure.
Yeah. Now, this is kind of where we've been building to, Sean. This next movie.
This is the bread and butter.
This is kind of... We're going to talk about some other movies after this. But this is really... I mean, this is the reason we're here talking about
the meat and
about
potatoes.
Movie. We're talking about The Dark Knight Rises.
Absolutely, we are.
Now, Brant, the people's champ, has not seen The Dark Knight Rises.
That's all.
So, we are here to get his reactions to The Dark Knight Rises and to ruin it for him.
I am taking this comedic bullet. I'm going to jump on
That's right.
I'm going to jump on this comedy grenade and splatter my guts all over the wall, all over the comedy walls.
Doing a good job, Brant.
Too soon, Brant.
Too soon?
too soon for what?
It's Dark Knight Rises, you guys.
Dark Knight Rises. Terrible movie. No, I'm just kidding. It was really good. I enjoyed everything. It wrapped up the Dark Knight trilogy.
Absolutely.
It was great. I don't know what more I could say.
Yeah, Christopher.
I said so much already.
Wow, Sean, you really floored me with the detail that you expressed in your enjoyment of this film.
So, yeah.
I thought it was awesome. Christopher Nolan clearly doesn't have anything else to say about Batman.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he told... And anyone who has complaints about comic books, etc., can eat shit and die.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, if you were expecting something of the caliber of Dark Knight, then your expectations were already way too high. Like, I mean...
That's right.
It's just impossible. There's no way he could have done better than The Dark Knight.
Yeah, pretty much. He probably won't ever be able to top that. And you know what? Probably no one else will.
No, either. Exactly.
That's not just... unless they somehow manage to drag Heath Ledger out of his grave and
reanimate
him like a puppet.
That will only cheapen
That would
it.
Creep a lot of people out.
But you're right. Heath Ledger elevated The Dark Knight beyond...
For sure.
Really what can be, I think, topped. Mm-hmm. It was just really that fantastic.
So yeah, The Dark Knight Rises, the big villain in this was Bane. And played by Tom Hardy.
Kind of.
Well, I don't know. we'll get there.
Bane's the villain of the film. Bane is the primary villain of the film.
There we go. Primary villain. And played by Tom Hardy, who did a great job.
He did an excellent job acting without most of his face.
Exactly. He did a lot of eye work. Must have been hard. And Brett and I have had this debate before, but I know I'm going to be in the minority of this, but I think Bane was a better villain than the Joker. And I'm aware that this is not going to be a very popular opinion.
But you're at the same time conceding that The Dark Knight was a much better film.
Oh, absolutely.
But you think Bane's a better villain.
Of the three, I would say Rises would be the weakest by very little. Hmm. But yes, as a villain, I would say Bane was better than Joker. Here's why I thought so. Point one, he would kill his men for no reason.
Formalized argument.
This is formed. This is formed.
What do you mean?
Remember in the sewers when Jim Gordon was chasing those villains?
Right.
And he made his daring escape through the blah, 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 aqueducts, whatever
right.
you want to call them.
Sure.
Bane grabs one of his men and says, hey, go after him. And instead of pushing him, he shoots him right in the fucking chest.
But that guy, screwed up. It was because...
No, that was the other guy. That was the guy who brought Jim Gordon down there. He broke his neck.
That was the screw-up. He shouldn't have brought Jim Gordon to their lair.
No, that guy screwed up. But the guy he shot to follow Gordon didn't do anything. He just kills his own men for no reason. And sure, the Joker did that in The Dark Knight... But he only did that at the beginning when they were robbing the bank. He didn't. He probably didn't care for his men, but he wouldn't kill them for no reason. He wasn't as violent as Bane was. Second point, he held Gotham City hostage for 5 months.
That doesn't. But if the Joker had done the same thing, it would have. I mean, I don't. That's not the right argument to make, but. I don't think that the length of time you hold the place hostage is what determines whether you're the better villain or not.
I guess.
Or maybe you could argue that Bane was more successful as a villain or as a criminal because he had goals to achieve
right.
and he was achieving them. Whereas the Joker
was
had
just a
no
fucking
goals because he is a hurricane of anarchy, which is what makes him far more interesting anyway.
Absolutely. No.
The Joker is 10 times more interesting.
For sure.
10 times scarier. 10 times more unpredictable.
Scarier. More unpredictable, absolutely.
I think the unpredictability and the violent nature and everything makes the Joker far scarier. Just because you have no idea what
he's
going to do.
He's a scary individual.
Bane was intimidating, but he wasn't terrifying.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I'll accept that.
But Tom Hardy looked big.
Yeah, Tom Hardy was massive.
They
and
also
bulky.
You could also tell that they used camera angles really well to make him look as big as possible.
Right.
But it was very effective. He looked huge.
He looked massive compared to
when Batman when he finally squares off with Batman, halfway through the movie, he just takes the beating from Batman like it's nothing and
fucking
kicks the shit out of him.
And that's where my last point comes in. Something he couldn't do, he did, that Joker couldn't do, he fucking broke the bat. He broke him like a twig.
But as Fred Penner always told us, the bat came back very next. 6 months later.
The bat came back.
You thought he was a goner in an Uzbeki prison.
And paralyzed.
But the bat came back.
But he came back. He just climbed a pit of death.
Because all it turns out is you can jump further if you just don't tie a rope to yourself.
It was kind of dumb.
Remember, like, yeah, I loved this movie. I was in the whole way. I was just loving it. But there was just, there was like two things that took me out of the movie while I was watching it. And it was, Bruce needs to jump further on this death-defying jump to get out of this prison.
Right.
And the key to him getting to jump far enough is to remove the safety equipment, because that's how physics works. You can jump further if you just are more scared. It's just... It was
a metaphor.
It was
you have to have no fear, and then you can be released or something. The kid had no fear when he jumped out of... Well, he or she jumped out of the pit.
It was weird. And Jim Gordon leading the cops into the sewers was silly pants, because the commissioner of police would never be the first cop in the sewers when you're chasing armed villains.
Right.
Never in a million years. That kind of took me out of it. Other than that, though, I mean, I even liked Bane's silly voice that I can't stop doing.
Oh.
I have to keep doing Bane's voice over and over because I love it, and it just amuses me.
It grated on me after a while.
It's just like, I am Gotham's reckoning.
Yeah, basically. Why does he sound like Sean Connery?
You think the darkness is your ally.
Oh, darkness.
They will expect one of us in the wreckage, brother.
Yeah.
But the opening scene was wicked badass.
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
Littlefinger gets his fucking shit taken down.
I didn't recognize him.
He's the first person you see in the whole movie.
Oh, I'm sure he was, but I didn't recognize him.
Is Aidan Gillen from The Wire and Game of Thrones. He's the first character you see in this movie. And it's a great scene where Bane takes over that plane. It was so cool. Super cool. But I don't know.
So cool.
I like Bane's voice.
Yeah, Bane, it kind of grated on me after a while, but Bane as a character was still interesting.
That's good. And what did you think of Catwoman?
Catwoman did what she was supposed to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
they don't ever actually refer to her as Catwoman.
No. Yeah, she's just Selina. Cat burglar. Kyle. Yeah. Cat burglar, yeah. But, yeah, she was great. She was powerful. She was...
Powerful when she should have been powerful, yeah. And not powerful when she should have not been powerful.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like vulnerable, yeah. Whenever people were around.
Like
the bar scene was a great, great fucking scene. Yeah.
It's like, what is she? Well, she's sexy and she can kind of steal things good.
Yeah.
But it's not like it's tough to kill her or something.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't have 9 lives.
Yeah.
Like Michelle Pfeiffer did.
Right. Michelle Pfeiffer, like, actually gets killed, basically.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, the bar scene is a perfect example of why Catwoman was great in this movie. Mm-hmm. Well, Anne Hathaway, really.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? Who disappeared again? Some senator disappeared.
Yeah, he was a congressman or something.
And while she was getting blueprints for Bruce Wayne's blueprints.
Fingerprints.
Right.
They were blue. Blue fingerprints.
His blue fingerprints. She was pretty much...
she was crafty.
She was crafty. Yeah.
She was pinned down by
a lot of people with guns, kicked all their asses, and when the cops came to get the senator, she played the innocent woman role and just started screaming
and
panicking.
Got her ass out of there.
And that's when I gave Catwoman a 10 out of 10. I was like, that's great.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what she would do.
She did great. I maybe would take issue with Batman continuing to trust her, even though
she
screws
him over
like 10 times in this movie.
No
like
doubt.
While you're watching, Anne Hathaway fucks Christian Bale over like 10
times.
And then it's like, and then they live happily
and
ever
then, yeah,
after.
Suddenly they're together. That, actually, speaking about the ending, I don't think Batman survived the explosion that happened. Sure, he fixed the autopilot. Sure, he drove however fuck far to the ocean to let it blow up. But I feel that the very last scene when Alfred is looking at the table across from him, the way he said at the beginning of the movie, I think he's just imagining that.
So based on nothing, yeah. You've decided that the last scene in the movie is an is like a dream sequence.
Not a dream sequence, just... because regardless...
It's a fantasy sequence.
Well,
it's Alfred's fantasy.
Sure, yeah. there, you could say it like that.
So the last scene in the film, based on nothing, Sean is positing that the last scene in the film is some sort of dementia fever dream on Michael Caine's part.
Is it any less plausible than Bruce Wayne surviving a fucking nuke?
If he had the autopilot.
If he had autopilot.
If you were,
sure. How far did he fly out before he ejected himself?
You don't need to know that. You just need to know he did it in time. This is a movie. Like, it's. I'm just saying that all the evidence that the movie gives you, like, you're making a religious argument, Sean, and I'm making a fact-based argument. I'm doing Batman on this. I'm doing the detective work.
Okay.
They give you the pieces of evidence that you need to believe that it's real, and you're just deciding not to because you like it better that way.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I will
start going to
ignorant.
Church again, Sean, because you're fucking right in it, buddy.
I fucking will.
You are living a fucking lie at the moment, my friend. But Anne Hathaway was good. Tom Hardy was good.
Absolutely.
Everybody was good.
Marion Cotillard as Miranda Tate.
And the other
slash.
Thing, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Hey, Jogo. Another thing that bothered me was the scene where Joseph Gordon-Levitt lets Bruce Wayne know that he knows that Bruce is Batman. Because when he was a little kid, he looked at him once.
Yeah. You had the same face as I did. Like, what the fuck does that mean? How do you do that? Like, Brett, you look like fucking Spider-Man over here with your face.
Oh, shit. He knows.
How did I know? God. That was kind of stupid, but at the same time, it kind of sets it up for Robert Blake becoming the next Batman.
Yeah.
What's his name, Robert?
John Robin. Blake. It was real name's Robin.
Right, Robin.
Robin.
Why did they throw that in there? That makes no fucking sense.
I could have done without that.
Yeah, it's like, what's he going to do? Go as his first name?
No, he's going to become Batman.
I'm Robin. No, that makes no sense. Of course he's going to be the next Batman.
But yeah, it was whatever. In the way that it was set up, because this whole movie was building to the thing where it was like, Batman is more than Bruce Wayne. Batman is a symbol. Anyone can be Batman.
Exactly.
And that's the point that gets made. And in the end, Bruce basically retires and someone else is Batman. Because it doesn't matter. He doesn't need... Because Bruce,
Batman's a symbol.
Because for some reason, Bruce doesn't feel like he needs to be Batman anymore.
Yeah.
He just needs Batman to exist.
For sure.
And that's, it's huge departures from the comic, and I'm okay with that. Because it all made sense. In the world that Christopher Nolan created for Batman, which is mostly based on the same thing from the comics, the things made sense for the most part.
For
it
sure.
It wasn't like cuckoo bananas or anything. Except for Bane's voice, which is so much fun.
It's not like
he didn't sound like Sean Connery, though. It was just kind of he kind of went up and down a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, I'd like my coffee with two creams, Hawkeye. You know,
that's what we call in the industry a callback.
That's a. But those two characters are from completely different comic universes.
They wouldn't do that.
So Hawkeye couldn't really. Green Arrow though.
Green Arrow might definitely give us some coffee.
You know?
Absolutely.
Brant, do you think that Bane takes his coffee with a little chocolate dust on it?
Chocolate dust?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Likes a little sweetness?
Well, technically, he would be making the coffee.
Hey, wait. How does Bane eat and drink if he can't take that mask off?
Suppositories.
Bane's been living like the last 20 years just jamming steak dinners up his ass.
Yeah. Well, he can't.
He's building massive muscles.
Unless there's like a mulcher in the mask, but it doesn't look like it moves. So
no, because
my guess is
when Bruce damages the mask, it's like that's
pretty much it for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If that mask comes off his face, he's gonna be double fucked.
And then Miranda Tate comes to Bane's rescue for no reason. Oh wait. Hang on a second. She was Talia al Ghul.
The whole time.
The whole fucking time. I did not see that coming, and I enjoyed it.
I didn't trust her because of one thing.
What's that?
Is a time when she and Bruce, probably just right after they boned or whatever,
right?
When she says, like, my family wasn't always wealthy. And because up to that point in the film, there had been an undercurrent of, like, the 99% versus the 1% kind of thing.
Right,
like,
right.
Bane was kind of, like, he was using that as his message. And in the end, we find out that that was really just a cover for them still wanting to just destroy Gotham. But yeah. But up to that point, you kind of had this feeling where it was like, screw the rich. And when she said that, I was like, okay, maybe she can't be trusted because that's basically what Bane's doing.
Yeah, for sure.
That's also basically what she just did.
Yeah. And also during the pit scenes when they would show Bane jumping out of the pit, I'm like, wait a minute. Ra's al Ghul didn't have a son. He had a daughter.
In the comics.
In the comics.
Yeah,
well, I guess you could change that for movies.
That
but
I had been avoiding news about this, like about this movie, and I'd been avoiding exposure to it because I wanted to see it fresh when it came out. But apparently, it was well known among people who were following it that Marion Cotillard had been cast as Talia al Ghul.
Oh, really?
So apparently, if you've been following the news for this movie, you knew that the whole time.
Huh.
Or at least that had, was a possibility.
That was possible, yeah.
And I didn't. But yeah, the League of Shadows plan was really still just to blow up Gotham. They didn't really give a shit about screw the rich.
Really, it's been 8 years now. Gotham's pretty much under control. Was it really necessary to blow up Gotham at that point? Like, it was under control.
She just needed to fulfill her dad's legacy or whatever.
Fair enough. She did what she did.
Liam Neeson wanted to blow up Gotham and he failed, so she wanted to do it for him. She basically did Iraq War 2 like George Bush Jr. She was trying to make up for daddy's failings.
Exactly.
And Michael Caine brought tears to my eyes.
Oh, really?
Twice.
I can see that.
At the beginning of the movie when he breaks up with Bruce, I cried.
Breaks up with Bruce.
And at the end of the movie when he's apologizing to Bruce's dead parents, I cried.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty emotional.
Well, cries overstating. Tears were in my eyes, but I wasn't.
Right. The
tears were in the outside corner of my eye, not the inside corner.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I gotcha.
All right.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. It was a good movie.
I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm never going to stop doing the Bane voice.
You're going to keep doing that. Can't wait for the trilogy to come out on Blu-ray so I could own all three one convenient package.
And then you can watch all of them in a row like several crazy
times.
People.
Yep. Several times over.
So, Brant, you haven't really been weighing in here. What do you think?
I don't know. I thought.
What would you give this movie, Brant?
I think it sounds like a pretty good movie. Yeah. It kind of did. I mean, I've been I watched the first two movies over the last couple of days in preparation for this podcast, but I did not watch the third movie just because I didn't get around to it.
Should we talk about the rest of the Dark Knight trilogy? They're good movies.
I don't know. They're
not in 2012 though.
Hey, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you've probably already seen The Dark Knight Rises, which means you've probably seen the first two. Which means we probably don't need to tell them that those are good movies.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, guess what? Batman, good movies.
Batman's good.
Also, thank you for listening.
But the...
we're not done yet.
We're not done. But
no.
The...
I didn't know.
But you're just saying thank you.
In general.
Exactly.
Well, thank you. That's something we don't express maybe often enough, champ. So...
all three of you. Thank you.
Yes. Both. I'm pretty sure I said millions earlier. But at maybe they... And,
millions?
Yeah.
3 million.
Some of them saw The Dark Knight. They're still listening.
Yeah.
So,
what else came out in July?
Oh, well.
Is there anything else? No. Well, July's pretty much over now.
Step Up Revolution.
Nice.
Step Up. Okay. So you got Step Up.
Right.
Step Up 2, The Streets. Step Up 3, Dimensions. And Step Up Revolution. Because what's the fourth step in any logical progression? Revolution.
Of course. To me, these movies kind of represent an entirely... Well, I mean, they're their own genre, but I don't like to call them dance movies. I like to think of them as dance porn. Because they kind of fulfill that exploitation part of dancing, but there's no, like, coherent plot. Not enough of a plot to, you know, like, make it a decent movie. I don't know. Right. I don't know. It's just like this kind of form of exploitation film is my point.
Sure. You know, that makes sense in very much the same way that kind of the Saw movies turned into like
the torture porn. Yeah, exactly.
Or horror porn. Absolutely. It's all just about being very exploitive about one particular aspect.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah, sure. I'm on board with that.
Excellent. I'm glad you are. What about you, Brent? You on board?
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that.
Excellent. Good. You weren't even paying attention. You're just fucking playing Angry Birds, aren't you?
But yeah, don't watch the Step Up movies. If you're listening to this, we probably don't need to tell you to avoid the Step Up movies.
I'm going
to
spoil the Step Up movie for you. They dance to save the world.
Those That's evil developers get theirs in the end. They get their hearts changed like the Grinch.
They want to turn our dance hall to a parking lot.
In the last scene, they do such an amazing dance that the evil developer's heart grows three sizes and he stops the bulldozers from taking down the community center.
Yep. So it goes.
It's basically the same plot as the Blues Brothers, except with dancing and no Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
We've got to save the orphanage. Or whatever. And then the last movie to come out in July is The Watch. This movie, originally this movie was called Neighborhood Watch, but then George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin to death. Oh. And they were like, maybe we don't want people thinking about Neighborhood Watch, we'll just call it The Watch. And it's did you see Attack the Block last year?
I did.
It's basically Attack the Block, except instead of kids in England, it's Ben Stiller.
And Vince Vaughn.
And Vince Vaughn.
Jonah Hill. And
Richard Ayoade.
Ayoade. I have no idea. That's a fucking nightmare.
Moss from the IT Crowd.
Moss from the IT Crowd.
I think we can just refer to him as that from here.
Yeah, just say Moss.
Everyone who...
Moss from the IT Crowd's there. The IT Crowd. Probably don't watch it.
I would imagine it wouldn't be that great.
If I had to take a guess.
Whatever, to each their own.
If I was taking a stab at it, I would say... generally avoid things Ben Stiller does.
You know what?
Generally.
I would say that if Tropic Thunder wasn't. Yeah,
you've
got to
pick
great.
And choose your Ben Stiller. That's all I'm saying. They're not
fair
all
enough,
bad.
Fair enough.
You just have to be careful.
You just can't,
this one
you just
looks
can't go
bad.
Full Ben Stiller.
Yeah, yeah. Don't go
I mean,
balls deep
yeah,
in the butt.
You can't go
Ben
full
Stiller.
On Ben Stiller. If you see Ben Stiller and you're like, Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn, that's a bad sign. That's going to be a full Stiller. You don't want to see a full Stiller with Vince Vaughn there egging him on.
True. True enough.
You know that was a set that was ridiculous. I don't want to even know. Screw that. Oh, you know what? Another thing I forgot to mention with The Amazing Spider-Man is, you know what? I wish I'd known this before I paid money to see it. The main reason that The Amazing Spider-Man got made was because if they didn't make a movie this year, the studio would lose the rights back to Disney on the Spider-Man franchise.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had
so they just
to make
one out.
Well, whether that was the approach or not, they knew that they had to make one,
right?
Or in order to be able to continue making them. So that maybe if I'd known that, I would have been less like. And if I'd known Dennis Leary was in it, oh god,
it's a Spider-Man
every
asshole.
Every scene with Dennis Leary, it just makes you want to pound nails through all of the parts of your body.
I noticed in the trailer. Of Spider-Man that when he shot Webb, it would kind of glow on his wrist. Does he have like actual machines
that.
Or is
no,
it
it's
like
not,
the same
it's
bullshit?
It's not shooting out of his wrist.
It did,
okay,
it did
so it is
the,
like an actual machine.
It's a web shooter, not an organic thing.
That's cool. I like that aspect.
Yeah.
That's a little more realistic.
It's like, you know, Peter discovers some of his dad's old bullshit.
Right, right. His old web shooting equipment.
Yeah, yeah. He finds his dad's old web shooters, and he dusts them off a little.
And he's just
and he's like,
thanks,
oh,
Dad.
This is exactly what I needed to be a spider-themed superhero. I'm sure glad my dead dad saw that in advance years and years ago.
You know, what would have been interesting is if the new Spider-Man was actually... If Peter Parker's dad was the Peter Parker from the last Spider-Man trilogy.
Ooh.
And this is actually like Spider-Man.
Like if Tobey Maguire had played...
But Tobey Maguire had like genetically altered wrists to shoot those webs, so he didn't need a web shooter.
Yeah.
Well, it might have just been a recessive gene. I don't know.
He was a clone baby.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So you're saying that like this would be... That the current Spider-Man is actually like Spider-Man 2? Not that his dad was played by Tobey Maguire, but his dad was actually the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man?
Yes.
Yeah, because the comic book nerds that are required audience for these movies wouldn't have lost their minds.
They would have set fires to the internet.
Like, there are some changes you can make, but if you made that change, the internet would have exploded.
You just don't tell anyone until the movie's out.
You don't tell anybody.
Surprise, nerds.
Surprise, bitches.
Hey, Tobey Maguire's in this movie, too?
Why is he in it?
But I thought you were replacing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. We are. Well,
what's Tobey Maguire doing there?
Shut up. You'll find out.
He's his dad. He's like 2 years older than him.
That's the other thing. Tobey Maguire is actually like a 40-year-old man now, right?
Oh, that's right.
He's got to be like... He's pretty old. He's not actually nearly as young as he looks. But I don't know. True. I thought these people did a good job. Anyway, that was back to Spider-Man for a moment.
For sure.
Then we can go August. We've just got a few more coming out here in August. We've got Total Recall.
Total rehash, if you ask me.
I've heard that the three-breasted hooker is one of the few things that they didn't change from the Schwarzenegger Total Recall to the Colin Farrell Total Recall.
I hear she's more three-breasted than the other three-breasted hooker.
She may very well be. They're really going to go all in on the three breasts.
Well, at least they got the essentials.
Yeah, exactly. That's all they really need.
They hit the main marks. Memory manipulation, three-breasted prostitute, release.
Yeah.
I hope there's a Quado. I just hope they haven't gotten rid of Quado. Nice. There's got, like... You can't take something that's that weird and original.
You can't put three boobs in a woman and then not
have a Quado.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the rule, you guys.
It's impossible.
That's the rule. I don't know. I like Colin Farrell, so whatever. We'll see.
He's all right.
Bourne Legacy, no thank you.
You thought Jason Bourne was the whole story? you thought Jason Bourne was the whole story?
Well, you forgot that there's going to be as many agents as we need to make a lot of money.
Yeah, basically. But I do think there are other Robert Ludlum novels based in the Bourne universe. I may be wrong. I don't know.
But I'm
pretty sure there are other Bourne.
I thought Ludlum died like... before even completing the Bourne Legacy. I thought somebody else had to like complete his last Bourne novel or something. Or Ultimatum or whatever. I mean, I didn't do any research, so...
This is based on nothing.
Talking out of my ass. Yeah. I have as much evidence for this as Sean does for thinking that the last scene in The Dark Knight Rises is a fantasy sequence.
Exactly.
Praise Jesus. Then we have The Campaign is coming out this month. The comedy for this month. They're all action movies except for The Campaign. And in The Campaign, we have Zach Galifianakis playing his Seth Galifianakis character that we've seen on TV shows and like talk shows and on his stand-up DVD and guest appearances. Yeah, we've seen him play this character before.
For sure.
Basically. This is going to be a more fully fleshed-out version of the Seth Galifianakis.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And he's definitely stepping it up.
And when Will Ferrell's character is...
George Bush without the accent.
Right, yeah. Very, very much like his
I think it'll be funny. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I'll watch the... Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I paid money to see Due Date. I'm not going to not see The Campaign.
That wasn't great.
I'm not going to not see The Campaign after paying for Due Date.
For sure.
That would be a little inconsistent on my part.
Yeah.
And then I guess the last one, the last big movie of the summer.
Whoa!
They left it right till the end because they wanted you to be... just wet with anticipation.
I bet.
The Expendables 2.
Ew! With Chuck Norris.
Realistically, I would say that the thing to watch most in The Expendables 2 is if they show Sylvester Stallone running at any point, watch that. Pay close attention to whether he can or not, because he can't.
Definitely.
He's 65, I'm pretty sure. It's so silly. But it's still me, Stallone, Jason Statham, Jet Li, Randy Couture, Terry Crews, Dolph Lundgren, Chuck Norris, Bruce Willis, and Arnold. Like,
definitely.
Whatever. Everyone who watches UFC is going to see your movie, okay? You win.
Fair enough.
You win. They're going to come and see it. You already did this once. You did the only thing you could do to make it even more crazy. You added Chuck and more Arnold.
Absolutely.
His commitments, his schedule cleared up a little bit, Mr. Schwarzenegger. He looking for things to do. Looking Absolutely. For maids to fuck. You got All some right. maids. Arnold will be there to fuck them.
He'll fuck the shit out of those maids.
That's what he likes to do. So for the first annual 2012 Summer Movie Awards, we go to our correspondent, Sean Stewart.
Brett, I'm here in Iraq, and I gotta say, it's crazy, crazy. I don't know. Anyways, I made up a couple awards for the three movies that we horrendously spoiled today, and I thought it'd be fun to share them with you guys. First off, favorite scene of the movies. I got Hulk smashing Loki from The Avengers, of course.
These are the nominees?
Are these nominees?
These are the nominees.
The nominees are...
Nominees are Hulk smashing up Loki in The Avengers. The ooze starting to take over in Prometheus. Like when it starts to inhabit the Milburn and whatnots. Or Bruce Wayne climbing out of the pit in The Dark Knight Rises.
That was your favorite scene, The Dark Knight Rises?
I don't know. I thought it was inspirational.
Okay.
It's like, he doesn't have fear anymore.
Okay.
But anyways, I'm going to go with number one, Mr. Hulk smashed up Loki. Puny god.
It was fun. It was good.
It was fun.
Mark Ruffalo was one of my favorite parts of that movie, for sure. He was funny. Like, Joss Whedon gave him some really good, like, subtle kind of low-key funny lines, and then he got to do all the fun smashing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark Ruffalo got to do just... nonstop fun. His role would have just been the most fun to play.
I like when they finally said Hulk smash.
And Hulk smash.
And as like a direction, smashes. Though, right? Yeah. They were like, Hulk? They were telling him to. Yeah.
So what, do you think it was like a suggestion or more of a command? Or
I think it was just a statement. Like, just do that. And
you know you want to.
And he smiled and did exactly
that. I'm giving
that.
You permission to do the thing you know you want to do. Smash it.
He smashed the shit out of everything.
Okay.
So what's your vote, you guys? Avengers, Prometheus, Dark Knight Rises.
I'm going with number three.
Number three?
Oh, yeah.
I got
inspirational enough for Brent.
I got to take one on given those choices.
I'm
inspired not even having seen the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Brent hasn't even seen it. He's picking it.
I guess I could have picked the chase scene, the highway chase scene, but that's for next year, everybody. So next category, most annoying character. Number one, we have Tony Stark from The Avengers. Daggett from The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Hang on. Last one, everyone from Prometheus.
Oh, that's a slam dunk right there.
That's a slam dunk.
I just want to let Sean give these awards. I'm not going to weigh in on them.
Weigh in?
Or at least I won't. You're the one who's doling out the award. I'm not going to say, like, I may comment, but I'm not going to take issue with your decision.
Right. But
so who's the winner?
I'm going with Daggett because
really, okay.
Everybody from Prometheus was terrible and annoying, but Daggett just takes the cake, trying to take over Wayne Enterprises.
I've seen that actor in a couple of things before.
Okay,
but in The Dark Knight Rises, he is doing a full on Wallace Shawn impression.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Minus
the inconceivable.
If he had just said inconceivable once, no one would have been able to think of anything else.
Yeah.
Because that is exactly who he was pretending to be in that movie.
Yeah.
You work for me!
Do you feel in control?
Oh.
That was great.
I'm in control! Yeah. I'm the one who knocks!
Do you think I ring a doorbell and shoot someone in the face? You think that's me? No. Anyway, so what's your vote, guys?
I'm not voting.
You're not voting?
No, I'm telling you.
Fuck you.
I'm letting you give out these awards, Sean.
I've already expressed my opinion on
this. This is all for you, my friend.
Okay, fine. My opinion matters then.
That's right.
Only my opinion.
They are your awards.
I'll comment, but I'm not going to take issue with
your
award giving.
How about character's death you cared least about? Agent Coulson from The Avengers.
Who?
Agent Coulson.
I was talking
about that guy.
The guy from S.H.I.E.L.D. who's in like every other movie.
The guy whose purpose was to die in this movie.
Anyways, Dr. Milburn from Prometheus, the guy who gets killed by the dick snake.
Who plays that character?
Wait,
oh,
which
fuck,
one?
I can't even remember.
Was he the guy in the space tabaxi?
No, the other guy.
Did Idris Elba? Was Idris Elba fun in that movie?
Yeah, he was all right. Uh-huh. He kills himself for no apparent reason. He's like, well, that guy's going to go for Earth, eh? Well, let's drive this ship right into his.
Oh, the pilot.
Yeah, he was the pilot.
Oh, okay.
And he, for whatever reason, found out that the ooze was some kind of biological experiment they were working on in said alien ship. He just blurts this out in the middle of the movie, like, yeah, so this is like a weapon.
Like, I know I'm the pilot, but I just cracked
the
case.
But for whatever reason, yeah, he's fucking Sherlock Holmes in that one scene.
I thought Iron Man was Sherlock Holmes.
No. No. He's Tony Stark.
Because of the other movies he's in.
Anyways, so Dr. Milburn, who gets killed by the Dick Snake in Prometheus.
Dick Snake.
Or Mayor Anthony Garcia in The Dark Knight Rises. I'm led to believe Mayor Anthony Garcia takes this one because even Nolan didn't care about him.
Like, they killed him off. Like, you see him in a skybox.
Yeah.
And then a couple minutes later, you see a skybox exploding. You're like, I guess the mayor's dead.
Yeah.
But no one really cares. Like, well, fine. Now who's going to buy all the eyeliner in Gotham?
No doubt.
Nestor Carbonell is gone.
He was in Lost, right? That name sounds familiar.
He was on Suddenly Susan.
Oh, boy.
Susan!
Because I remember that. I'm pretty sure he was in Lost. I think he was... Probably. One of the guys.
And I think he also played in the short... I think he was in the short-lived The Tick series as well. I think he played Batman well. In the Tick live-action series. I think. I could be way off there.
So, yeah, I'm going with Anthony Garcia.
For sure.
Because, like I said, no one doesn't even give a fuck.
I'm with you.
And I don't know, you guys might want to chime in on this last category.
Oh, boy.
Best bodysuit.
So many choices.
First of all, Scarlett Johansson in The Avengers, Charlize Theron in Prometheus, or Anne Hathaway in The Dark Knight Rises. This is a hard one, because even I couldn't even decide.
Honorable mention to Kobe Smulders.
Hey, hang on. No. Honorable mentions are coming up later.
Oh.
I still have honorable mentions.
You've got your own honorable mentions.
I got honorable mentions
here.
Let's just focus on the category first.
The matter at hand.
What about Bruce Wayne as the Batman?
Again, honorable mentions.
That's a bodysuit, sure, but...
We're going...
We got to go with the nominees we've been given. I think we cleared that, Brad.
We'll get to the honorable mentions, though, Brad.
Okay. Least talkative guest ever.
But is he really a guest? He's kind of part of the family.
Yeah, you're right. He's not a guest.
He's always here with us.
He's not a guest. He's always with us.
Being the people's champ.
Just like Jesus' love.
Exactly. So, shit. You know what? I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Anne Hathaway, but she did it for me in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's really... And it's... She's up against Scarlett Johansson, who's always goddamn breathtaking. And piled on with the red hair, I mean...
Yeah.
I'm going to go ScarJo on this one.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
You're with me?
Yeah.
Grants?
Three-way tie.
Three-way tie? Fair enough. Okay, so anyways, Scarlett Johansson, you won. Come get your award.
Please?
We'll be here. Please?
I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you won't like it.
I'll give you a hint. It's my dick. No, I'm just kidding. It's not
my
dick.
I said she wouldn't like it.
No, she wouldn't like it. She might like it.
Well, give peace a
chance,
never know. I guess.
Exactly. Give peace a chance. So, honorable mentions for best bodysuit category. We have Noomi Rapace from Prometheus, who is half naked through most of that movie. And she has a decent body. She's nice. She's also kicking a lot of ass, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Kobe Smulders, who played Agent Maria Hill, as we mentioned before.
Assistant director.
Assistant director, sure. Of course. Marion Cotillard from The Dark Knight Rises, although she wasn't in a bodysuit, I would not have objected if she was. What's wrong with Marion Cotillard?
Nothing, I just think it's funny the way you phrased it. You're like, she wasn't in a bodysuit, but, you know, wouldn't mind if she had been.
And, of course, Christian Bale. Dark Knight Rises as Batman.
Oh, Brant was way ahead of you, yeah.
And Chris Evans in The Avengers as Captain America. He was rocking it pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think it was mentionable.
Sure.
So there you go. Those are my awards for 2012 Summer Spoiler-tacular thing. I lost my train of thought.
Well, that's been the Summer Blockbuster Awards and conversation. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Tune in next time for another Medium Clever. Absolutely. Eventually.
Brent will still be here, but without Mike.
People's champ.
He'll probably chime in every once in a while.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's always given us a little here and there.
Let's give Brent the last word. Brent, any last words?
None. Nope.
Excellent. Thanks for
that wasn't the last word. You talked after. Brant?
Yeah.
Bye.